Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profile. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey everyone, welcome in to the weekend edition of the KE Report. Corey Fleck here along with Chad Marquitz. We are leading you through the weekend edition. I also want to refocus everybody back on our website to all the daily editorials we did this week. It was a busy week and rightfully so. There was a lot of news to talk about. Plus, there's still a lot of news coming out of companies that we follow closely on the site. So please have a listen to those company interviews and please get in touch with us. Let us know your thoughts on the companies we're having on, the guests we're having on, and if there are any other topics you really want us to dive into. On this weekend show, we're going to focus a lot on the broad equity markets and also dabble a little bit in the metals. And we have to touch on the interest rate environment here where bonds continue to sell off. Yields are rising. Chad and I are kicking off the show with Rick Bensignor, president of Bensignor Investment Strategies, writes the institutional newsletter, Supposedly Irrelevant Factors. That's read by some of the most successful hedge funds in the world. And on the retail side, he writes in the No Trader and a piece called 7-Eleven, where Rick picks no more than 7 of the 11 spider ETFs, all with the goal to beat the S&P. Rick, let's start with the S&P, because it was 2 weeks ago that you came out to your subscribers saying that you were putting on some tactical shorts, and this last week you outlined the scenario here where you think the S&P at best goes sideways for the remainder of the year. Summarize these kind of big picture thoughts for the S&P, please, Rick.
Thanks, Corey. Well, we did put on a tactical short, and obviously that provided some benefit for those who did put it on where we had suggested. But let's talk about the bigger picture here, which is whether or not the S&P, which has a high near, I think it's about 45, 46, something like that, is the high. If with the rebound that we saw after Monday sell-off, you know, is not on the downside and then just turns around and goes and starts making new highs again, which several people on the street are looking for. I don't think so. And even if we did make new highs, I don't think it's a melt-up. I think it would be a very minimal incremental new high that would come back off. What I'm actually thinking, and this has been a change in thought over, you know, let's say from where I was a month ago, is that between now and year's end, we mostly go sideways. And again, a minor new high doesn't really do anything to change that idea. I don't think that we crush it. I'm in total disagreement for those companies on the street that think we're going 15 and 20% lower. I don't think that's likely. Do I see a 5 to maybe 10%? I think that's possible. And I don't think we go more than a few percent higher from here either. One of the biggest reasons I think that actually comes off of the charts, and I almost wish there was a way that we could put this out for you know, radio listeners, but I'll walk you through this so that you kind of understand what makes me think that we've hit a fairly important inflection point. If you look at where the S&P was back in 2007, in October 2007, we made all-time highs, and that was the high going into the great financial crisis that bottomed in March of 2009. A point loss on that decline, in pure point terms, not percentage, but in pure point terms in the S&P, was, I think, was just over 910 points, something like that. And if you take the 910 points and think of this, if you were looking at a chart and saw the all-time high in 07 down to the low in 09, a 100% retracement would bring you back to the 07 high, right? It, you know, sold off and then it recouped the entire sell-off. If recouping that sell-off was 100% of what the decline was, then when we went to 1.618 times what that sell-off was, we paused for 8 months in 2015. We literally hit that level, paused for 8 months, before eventually breaking out in the first half of 2016. And then we zipped up, and in late 2019, we hit the next level, which would have been 2.618 times. Why is that? Well, these are Fibonacci numbers, and these are naturally occurring phenomena that exist in nature. And they have been brought to the market years and years ago as being ways of also interpreting the ebbs and flows of the marketplace. And we scooted, we eventually went through that level into the early 2020 high. Then we sold off into the March 2020 bottom, which almost sold off back to that 1.618 level. And then, you know, we turned around and shot higher. Well, if you take 2.618 and multiply that times 1.618, you come up with 4.24. And that measurement off of the 2009 low, meaning 4.24 times the decline in points from the 07 to 09 low, added to the 09 low, in other words, 4.29 times that decline, gets you to S&P 4,522. That's roughly 20 S&P points off what is now the all-time high. So that was the high last month. That's the high this month. I would think that it's going to stay the high for the next several months with the chance of a pullback along the way, that if it happened this month and if we took out Monday's low, we could get all the way down to, I'd say, you know, 4,100 or something like that. If it happens next month, it's probably somewhere north of 4,100, but less than 4,200. And that's what I'm thinking, is that we are at a very natural place for the market to pause. The five equity strategists at tier one firms that in the last 2 weeks put out sell signals, I can virtually guarantee we're not looking at that to come up with it. They're fundamental analysts who look at the big picture and say the S&P is overpriced, yada, yada, yada. We're due for a significant decline. So I'm not in that significant decline camp, but I do think we're in a place that we could easily see the market pause for months, which is why I shifted into a probably sideways type mode into year's end, where we don't make any material gain or material loss, but there's still the chance for some pullback. But I really disagree with those who are looking for a major market decline. I don't think it's coming. I think there's too many positive things about the economy that would not have that occur. And you can virtually find plenty of strategists on the street who'll tell you that stocks are cheap versus those who'll tell you stocks are expensive. And which is why I personally only give virtually no credence to the strategists on the street, except I like to collectively look at what they're thinking. And I wrote in that very same report to clients that it is highly unlikely we sell off 15 to 20% from the highs, mostly because five tier one strategists think we would, and they made that call within 1% of what was currently the all-time high. In my 40 years on Wall Street, I have never seen five Wall Street strategists from big firms or small firms, doesn't matter, collectively come out within days of each other that the market was going to take a significant dive when we were within 1% of all-time highs. If anything, you see them typically saying we're going much higher. For them to say we're going much lower makes me really reduce the likelihood in my head that that is going to happen. So that's kind of what I see, guys.
The good old contrary indicators. Hey there, Rick. Everybody has them. They're different for everybody, but I do find it very interesting, at least the road that you're going down with those U.S. equity markets. And look, we have seen maybe a topping pattern in these markets really just this month. So we'll see where the markets end this month, but it will be finally a down month for U.S. equities. Let's see if that leads to more selling. Everyone, we're going to be right back with Rick Bensinger. Stick around. We're going to get into some other sectors, including gold, cryptos, and even energy.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body, Brain, and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com. And an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
I know I need to pay attention to my health, but I just can't seem to find the time. Between rushing to work and taking care of the kids, there's not much time left over for me. So I decided to start small by eating more fruits and vegetables and being more active. And then I got the family to make some changes too. We started by keeping a bowl of fresh fruit on the counter, and I limit the amount of sweet snacks I keep in the house. I've also found some creative ways to add more vegetables to our meals. We're taking more walks, and on the weekends, we head down to the pool at the rec center. It doesn't happen every day, but it does happen. You don't have to change your entire life to be healthier. Just make some simple changes and include your family. You'll see how easy and fun it can be.
You can make a difference. Eat smart, play hard. And when you do, your kids will too. A challenge from USDA.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. And we are continuing to chat with Rick Bensignor. Now, Rick, before we get off into a couple of these other sectors, I really wanted to focus on the bond market because yields have started to break out again. And it seems like with central bank policies really around the world leaning towards some form of tightening, that the path of least resistance is higher for rates, and that has repercussions for really every market?
Yeah, I think in general the answer to that is yes. And you, an equity investor always has to look at the bond market. It's historically known as the smarter money. In other words, the bond market figures out what's going to happen often before the equity market does. And if this move in yields is real, and you know, right now the TNX is trading as we record this late Friday afternoon at 1.46%, this is the best level we've been on in a couple months since we broke down. And you've got to kind of pay attention to what bond yields are saying, because they do affect virtually every other market. You know, it affects the gold market. Most people wouldn't put those two together, but higher interest rates become a competitive market for something like gold, which has no dividend, right? You make money in gold simply if the price of gold is higher than where you bought it at, and you lose money if it goes down. There's no advantage to long-term holding the way a utility stock may pay you 4% in the dividend. This pays you nothing. So higher interest rates often compete against gold because people say, hey, if I can get, you know, a guaranteed money versus getting no money holding gold, unless I speculate correctly and it moves higher, I rather, you know, move. And so those interest rates often depress gold. And gold's only down a couple bucks today. But if you look at, you know, the price of gold at 1750-ish versus what the all-time high was from last August, it's, you know, it's a few hundred dollars different. And gold has underperformed virtually every major asset class this year.
Yeah, Rick. Well, let's dive into that for just one second further, because obviously there's the narrative that the interest rates would hurt gold, that, you know, gold's not paying a yield, but there's also the higher uptick in inflation. And so when you look at the uptick in inflation, and I'm not talking so much the tips yield, which are kind of Fed has their fat finger on that. I'm looking more at the CPI inflation, those government metrics that come in. We're still in a negative real rate environment. And so people that are holding dollars, a lot of times when we look at dollars, it's measured against the dollar index of other currencies, but they're not really looking at their purchasing power. Their purchasing power is eroding over time because of inflation. So the argument for gold is, hey, at least this is going to hedge some of that with the inflation, because even if you're making 1% or 2%, you're still losing 2% or 3% to inflation. So what do you think of that counter argument about the rising rates being counterbalanced by inflation?
Well, look, you have gold is the type investment that is used and has historically been used as a hedge against inflation, against disaster, against the currency imploding. I think the cryptos have definitely taken money away from those who might have put it into gold. And certainly if you look at what the return on, you know, let's say Bitcoin has been the last 12 months versus gold, you'd be doing a heck of a lot better, despite the fact that Bitcoin is well off its highs. Gold has lost some of that luster. It doesn't particularly hedge against inflation super well. Inflation is creeping higher, but gold is not. So that's not helping. And bond yields moving up doesn't necessarily mean the short end will move up, but because the Fed has also told us, and now we even see how Fed fund futures are trading, and the fact that you've got more Fed governors looking to raise rates in 2022, whereas months ago, Powell was saying it definitely won't happen until 2023. The interest rate environment is something that needs to be, you know, to go back to your original question, you have to look at the interest rate market when you're trading stocks, commodities, currencies. It is often the foundation behind why a lot of movement takes place in these markets. Not, certainly not all, but you're not going to see typically, you know, gold trading at the same price if yields are at 1.6 than if yields are at 1%. And if yields go higher, it's going to be more competition for gold. And gold, again, look at gold stocks. You know, the GDX is now sub $30. That is a really kind of, you know, this thing is on the precipice of falling again. And this right around $30 to, I think, 32-ish was where the 7-year breakout took place last year. So we shouldn't really, if gold stocks are good to own, we really shouldn't be down here. And if we are down here, we shouldn't stay here down. We shouldn't stay here long. This should be a very quick mispricing. Gold stocks should go up. And if they don't, that's a real signal, too, that people are losing their interest in what the value of gold is supposed to mean from a historical basis.
Rick, what about cryptos? Because, look, cryptos are in favor for, I think, a lot of the younger investors. But at the tail end of this week, we did get the news out of China that China is declaring transactions in cryptocurrencies illegal. We're seeing weakness at the tail end of the week, but not a complete washout. I think Bitcoin's down about 5, 6%. Ethereum, some of the smaller coins, those are down 10%. So not a total washout, but that whole regulation argument for the bears, well, China's testing that out right now. What's your takeaway?
So if you let's start off with Bitcoin, because that's what most people are going to look at as their proxy for cryptos. A few months ago, when we held down near 30,000 and we got to 20, I think 29 and change, and then we finally shot up in, I think it was late July, we got to the low 50s. When we shot up, and in 1 week we went from, I don't know, 30,000 to 40,000 in a single week, I said that we would create a new trading range that probably ended up being the low 40s to the low 50s. So far, that's panning out. Even this week's low is, I think, 42 and change or something like that. No, I'm looking now. It's 40,000 in futures, 40,085. So just about 41,000. So anywhere down there has some support. Could you get down to the upper 30s? You could. There's Fibonacci retracements, you know, in the upper 30s. And China's saying what they're saying is significant, because if you make transactions illegal in Bitcoin, you are taking away a heck of a lot of reason that people have gotten into Bitcoin for right reasons or wrong reasons, meaning, you know, legal transference of currency versus illegal, which doesn't matter to me at this particular moment, in the sense that whatever reason you got in for, China's saying you can't do that now, at least out of their country. You cannot make transactions in cryptos. That automatically should take a demand away.
Rick, we're going to wrap it up here. Some great comments on the markets and also for all the gold investors. Key levels to watch in the gold stocks, as this week did not end well, but it is, as you outlined, a key level for some sort of a bounce or for the gold stocks to hold. And as for cryptos, boy, oh boy, let's see how the market reacts as we progress through the weekend and into next week on the back of that China news. Rick, as always, great having you on the show, buddy. I always look forward to our conversations. I hope you have a great rest of your week, and we'll get you back on next month.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
The immigrant situation at the bridge in Del Rio, Texas is now finished. Some of the people were sent back to Haiti, or they voluntarily decided to go back to Mexico. But thousands are still being processed. Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas
will have their cases heard by an immigration judge.
Almost a year after Joe Biden was elected president, the Republican-led ballot review in Arizona's Maricopa County has been made public. They found no fraud, but they did find more votes for Joe Biden.
Arizona Secretary of State Katie Hobbs is a Democrat that's running for governor.
This has caused a lot of harm to our state, a lot of harm to people's confidence in the election processes that have integrity in our state.
The process was also criticized for a lack of transparency. This is USA Radio News. CDC Director Rochelle Walensky is backing the recommendation from a CDC panel for booster shots for those over 65 and people younger with underlying conditions. But she broke with the group when she declined to support boosters for those with high-risk jobs.
Many of our frontline workers, essential workers, and those in congregate settings come from communities that have already been hardest hit. Withholding access for boosters from these people and communities would only worsen the inequities that I have committed to fight against.
The boosters are for people who received the Pfizer vaccine. The House passed legislation that would ensure nationwide access to abortion following the Supreme Court's decision allowing Texas to ban abortions. The Women's Health Protection Act challenges the Texas law that bans abortion past 6 weeks of pregnancy. The bill narrowly passed the House. It now heads to the Senate. You're listening to USA Radio News.
For over 20 years, Extendivite has been helping people. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. Glad I found this product. I am 51 years old and started getting headaches a couple of times a week. I went to the doctor and my blood pressure was a little high at around 150 over 95. I found out about Extendivite and I ordered some to try it. Immediately, I felt better and it lowered my blood pressure and my headaches went away almost instant. I have been taking it now for about 4 months, and I am so glad I found this product. You won't be disappointed. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. And in this segment, Chad and I are chatting with Mike Larson, editor of the Safe Money Report. And Mike, it's actually been a number of weeks since we had you back on the show. And I realize there hasn't been a whole lot of changes within these markets the last couple weeks. Yeah, we've seen some weakness in the U.S. equity markets, but as we're recording this kind of halfway through the day on Thursday, we're also seeing that rebound in markets. So it in no way was a breakdown. Let's start off by talking about the Fed. There are a lot of central banks that are meeting this week, 12 in total. The Fed is really one of the most important to keep an eye on. However, we did get a couple of smaller central banks tightening their policy, even going through a rate hike or two. The Fed still seems a little ways away from a rate hike, probably a year at least. But what was your takeaway from what was another pretty boring Fed meeting and statement? Mike, what caught your attention?
Yeah, sure. I mean, this is a Fed that's obviously trying to avoid the 2013 scenario where even the mere suggestion from Ben Bernanke that something might need to be done in terms of tapering set off the taper tantrum and everything went hot wild and bond yield shot up and there was turmoil in the stock market and so on. I mean, this is a Fed that's tried to not even take baby steps. I guess you'd call them, infant steps. Is that something you want to go with? Not toddler steps, but infant steps. That's what they're trying to do. So they're very, 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 very gradually introducing the idea that, you know, pretty soon, if nothing changes, we are probably going to announce the start of our tapering, or at least the decision that we will, in fact, start tapering. That's what the September meeting was. It was a meeting to say at the next meeting, if nothing changes, we will decide to start the taper. We won't actually start it, but we'll decide to. So then after November, if nothing changes, maybe they start tapering in December, January, February, and so on, and just go forth from there, dial it back, I don't know, $10 billion a month in terms of bond buying from a $120 billion current pace.
We'd have to see exactly how it settles out, but that's what they're doing. They did pretty much preset that as the course unless something changes. Of course, we all know that things can change. I mean, if you get a couple lousy jobs reports in here, we get some other numbers that suggest the economy is dialing back a little bit, especially with some of the fiscal aid that the Biden administration trying to push through is seeming to be on ice now. And just getting caught up squabbling in the political arena. You know, those kinds of numbers could calm down a little bit and the Fed could drag this out or push it out and so on. So it's not set in stone, but they did try and, you know, point in that direction. So that's the main thing that's happening there. Still, the message from interest rates is that we're not going to be doing anything there, at least until later in 2022, possibly 2023. The dot plot, which has sort of their best forecasts, which, of course, are always wrong, but they're still, you know, the current thinking of when they might start doing that. They did sort of increase the pace or move forward the pace at which they think they'll start raising rates and the magnitude by which they will. You know, we've talked before. I tend to be pretty skeptical of this Fed's going to be able to do much with rates without it just, you know, having too much of an economic impact, given all the debt piled on the economy, given some of these demographic and structural issues that long term really kind of put the U.S. in the same place that Japan and Europe and some other advanced economies have been for a long time. So in other words, I think even if the Fed were to start hiking next year, which is probably not my case. I don't think they would start until 2023. But even if they were, it'd be very gradual. And this Fed funds rate cycle, I would be shocked if in this cycle the Fed managed to get rates to anything that starts with a 2. I would be not very surprised at all if they couldn't even get rates to anything that starts with a 1. Meaning, you know, they might, yeah, that would be 4 hikes and, you know, that would be the end of that, or three hikes, 3.5, depending on how you want to measure it. I really think that, again, all those longer term forces argue for any Fed hikes to be gradual, to be pretty small in magnitude, and ultimately for the rate cycle to top out at a pretty low level. And that's what we've seen for the last several cycles. Every time the Fed tries to hike rates, it runs out of steam and the economy gets hit at a point lower than the previous cycle. So it's really just not like, you know, this is nothing like the Volcker days in the early 80s where rates just went up and up and up in big chunks and you ended up at 15, 16, 17%. So that's kind of where we're at. And in the post-Fed environment, the market's been all over the map. First, the bond market loved the Fed idea. Then the bond market hated the Fed idea all in the span of 24 hours. First, gold and silver were fine with it. Then gold and silver hated it. First, the stock market had some volatility. Then stocks decided it was fantastic. So kind of like what we see in the wake of any big number, if it comes to like a jobs release or any big event, something like a Fed meeting, you know, the markets have a hard time sort of settling into what does this mean or deciding what this means for the long term. You get a lot of short term volatility. And that's where we're at right now. You know, if you look at stocks, for example, many parts of the equity market started to stall out and weaken behind the scenes as far back as June and July. Market breadth began to weaken, even though the S&P held up because it was dominated by sort of mega cap technology companies that continued to rise. Now we've seen even some of those companies see some volatility again in the last week or two. And it's just a question of, is this just a quick bout of volatility, then we're off to the races, or is it something more? That's kind of an open question at this point as I see it.
Yeah, Mike, there's a lot of good points there. There's no doubt that we often see these head fakes right after a big data point or after a Fed meeting, and then the markets will turn around and go the exact opposite direction. But to your point, just circling back to the tapering part, I agree with you on the interest rates that they can't really normalize them up to 3, 4, 5% without crushing the market. But most market participants and most analysts do believe that the Fed is going to start tapering. So the question I have is, you know, they're doing $120 billion a month in bond purchases right now. If they dialed that back to 90 and then 60 and then 30 and then 0, who do you think the market for the bonds will be? Who will fill that gap that the Fed has been dumping liquidity into? And how will that affect the bond markets?
Well, I think a lot's going to depend on how much additional fiscal spending, infrastructure, social spending, all the stuff the Biden administration wants to do. A lot's going to depend on how much of that gets through Congress. We've seen some of the initial extraordinary rise in borrowed money and resulting spending, part of the pandemic aid, begin to tail off. Things like enhanced unemployment benefits, all the checks and stimulus money that was being directly borrowed and then dumped into people's accounts. A lot of those programs have expired or been dialed back. And now, you know, we're still talking about a lot of stimulus, but we would need, you know, to really ramp up bond issuance, we would need to see, okay, is this $3.5 trillion more coming down the pike? Is the government going to be able to get, even more, again, social type programs, you know, massive infrastructure, that kind of thing? If it's not, and that kind of stuff has been basically caught in sort of negotiating hell for the last few months, if that stalemate continues, then I think the bond market can handle it without rates backing up too much and issuance going through the roof and the Fed not being there to buy it. However, if the Biden administration does get, you know, to the point where a lot of this stuff is passable and they get it through Congress and they have to borrow more to pay for it, and at the same time you've got, you know, lingering inflation concerns, then you're going to have issues. Then the Fed, you know, if they step back as a buyer, it is going to be an open question as to how the, you know, we're going to be able to sell and place all these bonds without the Fed being that demand backstop. I think you're always, to some degree, going to get some foreign bid there just because many foreign central banks and other institutional buyers just have to buy the U.S. bond market for liquidity because it offers liquidity. And relative to foreign rates, U.S. rates are still relatively attractive, which is hard to imagine when you're talking about a 1.3, 1.4% 10-year. But again, that compares to even lower rates elsewhere in the developed world. So I don't think you're going to see a bond market crash. But I do think you're going to see, again, if a lot of fiscal comes into the pipeline and a lot of the stalemate is broken there, then that's going to be the real catalyst, I think, for a backup in yields. And we just have to watch and see if, see how the political arena shakes out there.
Well, guys, unfortunately, we're out of time for this segment on the radio. But everybody listening on the radio, you can visit our website, kereport.com. Listen to this full interview. It goes with a lot of the interviews that we post on the weekend show on the radio, just because we're more constricted for time on the radio, on our website. We just let the guests run. And with the conversation with Mike, we continued to chat about the markets and some of the sectors that have his attention, which included dividend stocks. And then we also talked about gold, the volatility during and post Fed meeting, plus where he sees gold going from here after what was, again, another tough week for gold and especially the gold stock. So to listen to that full interview, again, just visit our website, kereport.com. Click on that weekend show posting, and Mike is in segment three. We're going to be right back to wrap up the weekend edition with more of a focus on the resource and precious metal sector. Everyone, stick around.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Yes, the pandemic is coming to an end. Restrictions are coming to an end. But body aches and pains never seem to end. That's why you need to click sunny-bay.com for the best sleep you can get. Sunny Bay's legendary products can help, like our lavender stress-reducing products, locally sourced and handmade in the USA. Or try Sunny Bay's award-winning pillows for traveling or extra neck support while sleeping. No need for pills or expensive chiropractic visits. Our neck support pillows are that good. Sunny Bay is a homegrown small business, but our products are designed and rigorously tested based on your demand and feedback. And they make great gifts for mom, dad, or anyone. Find Sunny Bay products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, or at sunny-bay.com. And right now, get free heat patches and a belt with any purchase. So remember, Sunny Bay heating pads, neck pillows, and stress-relieving hot or cold wraps. As restrictions come to an end and you get back to work, do it the healthy way with Sunny Bay.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Tehebo T.
Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea helps build the red corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A.com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100, Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.
All right, welcome back here to wrap up the weekend edition of the KE Report. We are going to shift our focus a little bit more towards the precious metals as Shad and I are wrapping up this show with Dave Erfley, founder and editor of the Junior Mining Junkie. Now, Dave, look, we're chatting on Thursday after the market is closed. And as I mentioned, we'll be talking about precious metals, but I want to start with GDX. Now, we don't know where GDX is going to close this week, but as of right now, GDX broke below that 30 level and closed the day below that 30 level, just below it. It's 29.89 where it closed on this Thursday. The important aspect about this is broadly the 30 level. It's even a little bit higher, about 30.64 was pretty key support for GDX because, well, it had bounced off there a couple times, and quite frankly, we're now at levels that we haven't seen really since pre-pandemic, the pre-pandemic washout and then the quick recovery. The problem being, anybody who really bought post-pandemic, unfortunately, at least in GDX, is probably underwater. Just goes to show how long this correction has gone, and now, unfortunately, how deep it has gone. It's about 35% retracement. This, to me, is the key aspect on any of the precious metals charts. Dave, what's your takeaway from this unfortunate, at least right now, short-term breakdown in GDX?
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree more. I've been watching that 30 level for a long time now, expecting it to be tested. And not only do we have a weekly close coming up tomorrow, but we got a quarterly close coming up next week. So it looks to me like GDX is probably heading down to its to test its 200-week moving average. And there is an open daily gap from March of 2020 around 27. So I wouldn't be surprised to see that fill here on this. And yet the GDX is trading at a price where it peaked in 2016 at below $1,400. So the gold stocks are basically pricing in gold at least heading down to 1550 here, which would be a 50% retracement from the move from 1050 to basically 2100, which was a doubling of the gold price in 4 years. At 1675 level, which is critical support in gold right now, is the 38.2 retracement level of that move. So that's been tested a few times now, three times. So if the gold price now looks like it's probably going to head down to test that area. If we lose the 1750 level on a weekly basis here tomorrow. It's not looking good right now for the short to medium term in the gold complex. Absolutely. And also, if you take a look at the silver price, it's been in a reprieve here of late. It tested 22 this week, but it has bounced, almost a dollar from that level on its industrial component as risk on has come back into the marketplace. So lots going on, lots of levels to pay attention here as we wrap up the quarter next week.
Well, Dave, you brought up silver there. And so a lot of times in a healthy bull market, we want to see silver and the miners leading gold to the upside. They often lead to the downside. But silver's been a particularly weird one in that it hasn't mm-hmm. really broken down all the way for that industrial component that's tied to the general markets. Mm-hmm. But do you believe that if the miners keep breaking down, if we do see a weekly close below 40 on the GDXJ and below 30 on the GDX, that it's just inevitable that silver will break down? Or do you think silver could buck the trend and hold that part of the equation up despite the fact that gold and gold miners are selling off? What do you make of the silver divergence?
Well, it's kind of a double-edged sword, Chad. You know, if silver is able to avoid breaking below 22, you know, there's a massive amount of stops there at 22. So if the bears are able to force a stop run at 22, you know, it looks like it's probably going to hit $19 to $20 pretty quickly. But besides that, it's like I said, it's kind of a double-edged sword because for silver to be saved losing that 22 level, I think the stock market needs to continue rising. But in order for generalist investors to come back into the gold sector, they need to see more fear in the stock market and see the stock market rolling over. So I think if the stock market continues to rise here, which I don't think it will, I think it's creating a big top here. I think today's move was a big short covering move because of what the Fed said on Wednesday. But definitely, if you take a look at the gold silver ratio, it's getting toward that 80 level. That's an important level to watch because it gets back over 80. That'll keep pressure on the entire precious metals complex. So we want to see the gold-silver ratio remain below 80.
Well, if there's the potential for silver to be more tethered to the general stock market and maybe avoid falling off a cliff there below 22, is silver the better place to hide right now in the near term?
No, silver is not a good place to hide, but there's a lot of uncertainty in the market, especially right around crash season, which we're in right now. A good place to hide right now is having a large cash position. And I've done that over the past few months. I've built up a pretty large cash position because, you know, if you take a look at the stock market, we all know how overvalued it is. It's gone up for 12 straight years. With everything that's going on in the world, it needs to at least have a decent correction. And I think that's about to take place. And but as far as the silver price is concerned, when you start, if we see some panic selling like we saw on Monday, that would affect gold stocks and silver because you'd see safe haven money coming into gold and the dollar. Like today, you saw the dollar down big and gold down along with it because on Monday, we saw safe haven money coming into both gold and the dollar, and that was taken back today because of what the Fed said on Wednesday.
So, Dave, you've mentioned a number of times here that building up cash or having a cash position is best in these markets. There's no doubt about that. As stocks broadly have corrected and kept on fading, yes, being in cash does allow you to get in at cheaper prices whenever you decide to get in. But what about those people still holding some juniors? I still hold a lot of juniors here. I did build up a bit of a cash position, but I'm not nearly that active of a trader as you or Chad are. But for those people looking at their portfolio, Dahlia Juniors and seeing already that they've pulled back, many of them at least 50% over the last year, they're saying, just how worse could it get for some of these juniors? Should I sell now and then potentially miss that whole capitulation, move higher? What would you have to say to those individuals that still think that they're holding some good juniors, but understanding that, look, the sector broadly is still under pressure?
Yeah, Corey, I'm in the same boat. You know, I still have core holdings in junior positions that I've added to recently. Sure, some of them I added to a bit early, but I'm still up considerably on most of them because I was fortunate enough to buy them before the move really took off in 2020. And I also took a lot of profit off the table in late 2020 and earlier this year. But what I would say is you got to basically, you got to have your own personal rules. Buying them as they're rising is never a good idea, you know, especially if they're rising late in an up leg. A lot of people did that because they came upon this sector and many of them weren't very familiar with it as you know, we've had generalist investors have been out of this sector for so long and they started to come back in 2020. Well, they learned a valuable lesson. A, it's dangerous to trade on margin. And B, it's even more dangerous to chase juniors, especially after they've gone up 3, 4, 5, 6 times.
Fair enough, Dave. Hey, unfortunately, this is not the simplest trading for this sector because you do have to be so cautious right now. But, hey, Dave, that's going to wrap up this weekend's edition. Everybody who tuned in, thank you for taking time on this weekend. And also, please go back throughout the week on our website, kereport.com, and listen to the company updates that we recorded. We're really focusing still on a lot of companies because, as we just highlighted here, it's important to know which companies or what companies are doing and which companies maybe tick those boxes for you to at least even just put in your kind of shopping list or your watch list. Dave, we'll chat again next week, hopefully on some better news for the resource sector, but still sounds like it's going to take some time for a substantial recovery to come. Dave, thanks as always for your time. Have a great rest of your weekend.
You too, Corey. Thanks a lot.
Our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
What will you do if there's a sudden food shortage? Given recent headlines, it seems likely, and at any moment. That's why it makes common sense to build your emergency food storage supply now, while you still can. Do it with the kind of food that stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. Food that doesn't go bad like what you get at the grocery store. Whose food should you trust? The largest preparedness company in America, My Patriot Supply. We've served millions of American families going on 14 years. At MyPatriotSupply.com, our mission is your survival. Our emergency food could definitely be your lifesaver when the peanut butter hits the fan. Choose from dozens of delicious meal kits that provide over 2,000 calories a day, which is what your body needs. Order today, and your food will ship fast in unmarked boxes to protect your privacy. Don't wait. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
We all have heard about the benefits of fish oils, but what about the presence of heavy metals, PCBs, dioxins, furans, and other contaminants found in fatty tissues of fish? GCNteam.com recognizes this risk and offers IFOS certified tested omega-3 fatty acids. EPA, DHA insist on IFOS omega-3 fatty acid certification. Get the best at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamel Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.